In 2005, Melanie De Silva was in an unhappy marriage that was falling apart.
I was already the mother of two children and found myself, due to contraceptive failure, pregnant. And I decided, with, you know, a lot of challenging conversations with my spouse at the time, who was very supportive, that I was not going to continue the pregnancy and I was not going to have this child.
De Silva, who lives in Western Massachusetts, says deciding to have an abortion was the hardest choice she has ever had to make. And the procedure did not go well. De Silva says she called the clinic repeatedly to tell them she was bleeding. They assured her it was normal. It turned out the abortion was incomplete, and De Silva had to have another procedure. She says it was a very lonely experience.
After my abortion, I kind of stopped being a bit of an activist. And I felt like these two kind of opposing viewpoints of, like, yay, abortion. I felt like there was something about the pro-choice movement that was not recognizing the grief. Even though I was still in favor of legal abortion, it was very alienating.
There's a big difference, though, between grief and regret, De Silva says.
And I have a lot of grief about my abortion, but I don't have any regret. It was the right decision at that moment in my life.
After telling almost no one for 17 years, in early May, when the draft Supreme Court opinion to overturn Roe v. Wade was leaked, De Silva told her now college-age daughters. And before this story airs, she says she'll tell the rest of her family. Some, she says, will call her a murderer. But now, in this moment, in order to preserve the right to have an abortion, De Silva is encouraging other women, if they can, to tell their stories. While about half the states have laws in place that would ban most abortions if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe v. Wade, in the Northeast, abortion would largely remain legal.
I'm from Connecticut, so I grew up in a very pro-abortion state.
Christina Bennett grew up in Hartford, and she still lives in Connecticut. She's on the board of the national group Pro-Black, Pro-Life.
I didn't become pro-life until I was in my 20s. I never heard abortion talked about in church. So my Christian faith is not what propelled me to become pro-life. It was first my personal story and realizing that I could have died within minutes, and that would have been completely legal and completely fine.
In college, Bennett says that's when she learned her mother was about to abort her, and at the last minute, already in a doctor's office, changed her mind. Bennett says that's when she decided to become an activist.
I decided that I would help women who, in the 11th hour, perhaps want to change their mind, and they needed hope, they needed support.
And Bennett says she really set herself at odds with her family. She's the only person that is vocally against abortion rights. She sees Connecticut's new law that protects healthcare workers and patients who come from other states providing or seeking abortion as a way for people to hide out. If legalized abortion continues, Bennett says, the systems that need to support women and children will never be in place because there's no incentive for them to be in place. She would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned so that the decision to provide abortions goes back to the states.
And then states could decide what they want to do. And some states like mine will continue to be pro-abortion, and other states like Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia would be pro-life. And you would hopefully see more action to help women and children, like social services and paid parental leave and affordable daycare and better housing and better health care.
Marissa Pizzi says she doesn't buy that argument.
All of these folk who claim to have all of these progressive ways of just so that there's no abortions don't understand the actual frame from which they think they're operating in.
Pizzi works at Collective Power for Reproductive Justice in Amherst, and she's on the board of the Abortion Rights Fund of Western Massachusetts.
What we are anticipating at the fund is that we see the state of Massachusetts and the region, New England region, becoming a destination for folk who are looking to receive the health care that they desperately want and need.
Massachusetts has several strong abortion care funds, Pizzi says. As they anticipate the end of Roe v. Wade, she says they need to get ready for people from other states. That's plane tickets, hotels, food, and childcare. But the priority is people in Massachusetts. And Cheryl Zoll says among them, there is a lot of confusion. Zoll is the executive director of Tapestry Health, which runs community health centers around Western Massachusetts.
Especially with the leaked decision in early May, a lot of people assumed, oh, abortion is illegal now. So that's why we feel like it's so important to start every conversation by saying that people still have a right to terminate a pregnancy.
Tapestry doesn't provide abortions. Their goal is to help people understand their options, Zoll says. about abortion, about pregnancy, and about the universe of reproductive health, which includes contraception.
For a lot of people who are anti-abortion, it's part and parcel of this is to also limit the kinds of contraception that people have access to.
But that's not the platform for Students for Life, according to Annabelle Flores Bonilla.
There is no restriction on using contraceptives as long as they are birth control instead of an abortion pill.
Flores Bonilla is working on her PhD at UMass Amherst in neuroscience and behavior. A few years ago, she says she was in favor of abortion rights.
Like around when I was in late high school, I started to be more pro-choice, trying to logically find the woman's rights and help women. But after I was in an ethics course and we're debating what makes a human human.
And the arguments of the abortion rights movement no longer made sense. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, it will be a victory, Flores Bonilla says, but a temporary one.
Because there is a lot of things that need to happen right after Roe v. Wade is overturned.
And activists who are trying to preserve and expand abortion rights are saying the same thing. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jill Kaufman.